Thanks for listening to the Entree Leadership Podcast. If you're a small business owner and you love this podcast, then you definitely want to check out our Entree Leadership Master Series event. Dave Ramsey personally teaches this event here at our office in Nashville, Tennessee, so you can meet with our team and see behind the scenes of how Dave runs his business. Registration is open for the next event the first week of November. Check out EntreeLeadership.com to get your seat locked in today.
Welcome to Dave Ramsey's Entree Leadership Podcast. This is the place to learn what Dave Ramsey and his team teach about leadership and business. My name is Chris Hogan, and I'm excited to host yet another great episode for you today. On today's show, we're going to recap our latest Entree Leadership Master Series event. It was just held here in Nashville, Tennessee at our headquarters. We had 150 business owners and leaders that came here to spend a week with Dave, to learn directly from him, from his business playbook, and now they're going to be able to go back and take that information back to their team and back to their business and make an immediate impact. It was a great event. I had an opportunity to interact with a lot of business owners and leaders and talk about the world of business, and for them to be able to get information that they feel like they're going to be able to go back and do some good for themselves, their team, and their business. To kick things off, we have a segment from the radio show that was broadcast live from the Master Series event. Now, Dave took 3 hours of the regular radio show and dedicated it to business and leadership. And so it was an incredible opportunity to hear from Dave as they're in attendance, address these topics. So here's a glimpse of Dave Ramsey at the Entree Leadership Master Series.
Live from the Financial Peace Plaza Conference Room, it's a live Entree Leadership Theme Hour. Well, ladies and gentlemen, as you can hear, we are here with a large group of Entree leaders, newly graduated Entree leaders from our course, Entree Leadership, our Master Series that has been going on this week. I have had the unique pleasure of spending an entire very, very intense, fun-filled week with a group of entrepreneurs, a group of business owners and leaders from literally all corners of the nation, and including several foreign countries. We've got folks here from London and other places as well, and so we have had a great, great week learning and hanging out together. They've enjoyed Music City, my hometown, and we have discussed one of my favorite topics on the planet, and that is small business and business and business leadership. I think business, when done properly, is one of the best services that happens anywhere on the planet. People that get cared for by other people, and then you show your appreciation by giving people certificates of appreciation with presidents' faces on them, as my friend Rabbi Lappin says. And so we've enjoyed hanging out with this bunch this week. It has been an incredible, incredible event. This is an unusual event. Usually the Entree Master Series is held in some big-time, unique, very cool location. This time it is held in a very unique, big-time, cool location, which happens to be our offices, and we've gotten to enjoy, again, the fruits of our city here, Music City. And so we've had some world-class songwriter events and other things all throughout the week, as well as for some of our downtime, as well as spending a lot of time teaching and learning about small business. We're taking your questions from all across America, because 60-some-odd percent, depending on who you read and who you believe, somewhere around 64% of Americans work for a company that has 500 or less team members. Small business is the backbone of America. It's not a philosophical statement. It's a freaking fact. And that's how that works. And so we're proud to be small business people, those of us in this room. We're proud to be business people and to be leaders, those of us in this room. And we want you to be, too. This is how things are taken care of in America. This is how people get served. When someone opens a great restaurant in your neighborhood, you go eat there. When someone opens a great place to get your car worked on in your neighborhood, you go get your car fixed there. That's how this works, this thing called capitalism. And it is a wonderful plan. It is the best way for the little man to get ahead, to start from nothing and to become somebody, financially speaking. I've become a millionaire twice in America because I'm so stupid I had to do it two times. So it's possible. It's definitely possible. And we are excited about the idea of entrepreneurs in America today, of small business people and business people. And I don't even care if you're a big business person, if you still got that thing going on inside of you. You still got that idea that people matter. You still got the idea the customer is a person. You still got that idea that the team you work with are people, that they have lives and you care about them in part as part of the transaction. It's not just about Q1 and Q2. It's not just about profit. It's not just about stock price. So regardless of your company size, you've got to have that sense that your business has a soul and start treating it that way. And that makes the operation and the going to work every day not be so transactional. And it does. It has a sense of life to it. And we're honored to be with people this week that have invested in that. So thank you guys for being with us right here. We appreciate you. Joe Levitt is in the audience with some of our attendees, one of our alumni, back for the third time. Brian is with us. Brian and his wife, Wendy, have become good friends over the years. Welcome, Brian.
Thank you, Dave. As an alumni of the Orlando events, I can endorse the value of this event. It's tremendous.
Thank you.
But coming to your hometown, and you've put on an incredible experience, you can truly see the entire organization, even outside the Entree leadership team, really walks the talk. I mean, to each person that works here and we've dealt with.
Thank you.
The question I wanted to ask was about communication. Mm-hmm. I am great at casting a vision. I can look all the way down the road and see something no one else sees.
Mm-hmm.
I am terrible at delivering the details of how to achieve that vision to the team.
Mm-hmm.
As John Acuff would say, I'm big on the wow, really bad on the how.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
What would you suggest? How could I communicate with them and or follow through on that vision to help them see where we want to go and achieve that goal?
Well, when you are a visionary type person, a person that is big on the wow, that's not necessarily a strength but or a weakness. It's like a lot of things. It is a strength. It's our greatest weaknesses, though, are usually around our strength. And so what I've had to learn to do, I'm a little bit the same way, is I've had to learn to make sure that things are followed through on, because if all I do is cast a vision that never occurs, you're the boy that cried wolf then, and nobody believes you when you stand up and say, this is where we're going. But if you say, hey, we're going to launch a John Acuff book called Start, it is an incredible book. I have read the manuscript. We are laying out a marketing plan. We are going to deliver this help that John has between these two covers to a lot of people, to the point that we are going to make it a New York Times best-selling book. And then you go about making sure that the team grabs hold of that vision. Each one does their part. The graphics team does their part. The marketing team does their part. The social media team does their part. And the elements of that wow, the elements of that vision start to break down into tasks. And then you're walking around touching each one of those tasks on top of the head and make sure it's still spinning. Make sure that top is still spinning. Then when that prophecy of yours, that vision of yours becomes a reality, then you got credibility to do it again. And then when you do it again and you say, hey, we as a team, this is what we are going to do, and it's a big wow, then they immediately start going, every time he does this, we do it. So I better start figuring out what my part is. And it kind of makes them nervous. They don't want to be left because the train's leaving the station. They want to be on the train when it leaves this time. But you can't, you know, you lose credibility if you don't follow through and say, hey, this is making sure that those tasks happen. But I, you know, while I stood on the stage and told our team that exact thing about John's book, I didn't have any doubt in my mind that as a team we could do that. But then I had to go about making sure as a leader that our team was each person that was carrying their part of that task to cause that to happen. And so I guess the leadership aspects of making sure the tactical things are done to accomplish the strategy, which looks a lot like a vision, if you will, is how you keep from being labeled a dreamer and instead become labeled a visionary. Visionary is actually somebody who pulls a dream out of the clouds and makes it happen. A dreamer is somebody that lives in his mother's basement. And that's the difference. So that's really where we are. And that's what we've been talking about a lot this week. So it's a fun question. And but man, you got to really follow through. You're right, because you don't get many chances for people to believe you, and otherwise you start becoming the boy that cried wolf. You can miss one every now and then, but you can't miss three in a row. It's a bad thing. So Joe, our next question from our studio audience.
We've got Eric from Houston here.
Hey,
hi,
Eric.
Dave.
Been a good week, brother. I've enjoyed having you.
It's been great. Thanks for the hospitality.
Absolutely.
I've got a question about taking all the information that we've been learning all week back home to our offices. We have a wealth of knowledge. I viewed this as an investment in my company and in my leadership skills. And to best get my return of investment, how can I approach my team and discuss with them that we're not necessarily going to do a reorganization, but we're going to reevaluate our culture and our vision and mission statement, and really put into practice a better way of doing business? What's a good way to get that conversation started without scaring them off?
I think you just said it fabulously. I hope that's on tape somewhere. I mean, that's really, it's excellent. That's exactly how you do it. And of course, you know, you're leaving here, all of you are, we've talked about this all week, overwhelmed. Because the amount of information, by about Tuesday afternoon, your head thinks it's going to explode, and by Friday, you're just numb. And so, that's unintentional. We want to give you a lot of value while you're here in terms of the amount of information and the experience that you have. But then you've got to be a buffer between us and your team, because if you try to do this to your team, you'll swallow them whole. I mean, they'll just push back, and you'll have a rebellion on your hands. And so, one of the things we talked about a little bit earlier in the day, I think it does apply, and it applies to our listeners that haven't been here with us this week. Anytime you're wanting to create a massive change, the way you do it is one element at a time. And so I think you talked about a good overarching thing there. There's some cultural things we want to change. There's some process things we want to change. We're going to do that at a rate of change that that doesn't give everybody in the place whiplash. But we are going to change. And if you don't change, you're going to be uncomfortable, because this is going to come about. And so, and change is always, no matter the rate of speed, it is always uncomfortable. And so, you temper it, and you talk about it, and you talk about it again, and you talk about it again, and you talk about it again. The change is uncomfortable. This process is, but we've got some things, there's some corners that we're going to turn here. And as we turn this corner, hold on, we don't want to throw you out of the car, you know, buckle in, because this is where we're going. And then pick out a few of the key salient things that you walk away from out of here that you say, that's the first thing I want to work on. That's the thing I want to deal with. And then the next thing, and then the next thing. But I wouldn't go back and say, here's 24 things I learned, and we're going to do them in 24 days. I mean, I think that the peasants will be out with pitchforks and torches if you do that. And I think I wouldn't blame them. So incremental implementation, but steady. I kind of look at it like hydrostatic pressure. Water will push anything down if you just let it begin to build and continue to push and push and push against something. And a leader when they're turning a ship needs to be hydrostatic pressure. You just keep this steady pressure on something like water would keep against it. And it just, you never let up the pressure. It's steady though. It's not a punch. It's a gentle, solid, continuous push. And then that moves the item slowly around. And it's harder to steer a ship than it is a ski boat. And so give it a little time to turn, and culture is a ship. It's not necessarily the size of your company, but culture, regardless of whether it's 2 people or 200 people or 2,000 people, culture is a ship. It takes a little bit to turn it. So give yourself and give them a little grace. But a year from now, things ought to smell different in there. You know, the air ought to feel different, and it's worth doing. It's worth the fight. So good luck with that, man, and I'm glad you were here. It's good to spend time with you this week. It's an Entree Leadership Master Series special event on the Dave Ramsey Show. Taking questions from a live studio audience for your calls from across America as we talk leadership, talk entrepreneurism, and, talk business. Had one of our attendees come up and just say that they're signing up their 20-year-old son to come through this. Quote, he'll get more out of this than he will college. Thank you. That's a nice compliment. still recommend he does both. Oh, one of my favorite speakers out there, a young speaker named Simon Sinek, just tweeted, "Those who believe what we believe offer their blood, sweat, and tears. Those who don't believe what we believe demand more money and glory." Get people on your team that care about the outcome, that are part of your crusade, and they'll fight with you to win. And they'll take on the marketplace, and they'll have a conversation with the marketplace. If they're there, just there trying to get a J-O-B, then you never pay them enough to make them happy. That's the same thing we've been talking about all week. Almost like Simon knows us or something. Go figure. We love his stuff as well. That's fun. All right, Joe, who's next?
We have Brian from St. Augustine here with us.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, Dave. Good afternoon.
Afternoon. What's up?
Just wanted to say thank you.
Thank you.
This week, I'm sure I speak for many of us in this room, but a very heartfelt thank you for what you've done here this week.
Well, thank you.
I don't think there's anybody walking out of here completely changed in how they view the business landscape and how to deal with issues. And as an entree leader, I'm pleased to have been part of this. And I would just want to say to every other business out there listening, you guys need to check into this, because this will change the trajectory of how your business functions, flows, and operates. And wow. Thank you.
Thank That's you. It. Very kind. I appreciate that very much. Well, it's been a joy being with everybody this week. It's absolutely been a blast. And thank you for the ad. We'll send you your $50 later, but... But it does. I mean, because we do approach this with so much energy and with so, and we do care about the outcome. You know, we're in, like we talk about having a team member that cares about the outcome, but our whole team views it that way. And we think that this matters, because we really do believe that America can be changed by quality business people with quality values and quality morals. Doing business the right way, treating customers and vendors and team members the right way, and doing and saying the right thing. And I think that's how this nation gets changed in a positive direction. It doesn't get changed as a governmental function. It gets government is usually the symptom. They're usually not the problem. And they like to think they're the problem, and they like to think they're the solution. We like to think they're the problem, and they like to think they're the solution. But really, I think we're the solution. We the people, when we band together, we do things right, we handle, we treat each other well, we impact things. And if we can get enough of us thinking that way out here in the landscape, I mean, we can change the way people view things. Business is does have a moral component to it. Properly done, capitalism does have a moral component to it. And it makes it worth sticking out. It makes it worth fighting for that. The theologian Novak said that capitalism sits on a three-legged stool: economic freedom, political freedom, and moral restraint. And so that means how you treat your clients, how you treat your team members, the way you view profit, and you say profit is not an evil thing. Profit is a result. Profit is, as my friend Ken Blanchard says, he says, profit is the applause that your customers give you. And so when you do well, the natural result, when you do well for people, when you do well for the market, when you provide a quality product, when you provide a quality service, when you do all of those things, you do move the needle. And profit is the result of that. So it's an honor to be with you guys this week.
So having the radio show live over at the Entree Leadership Master Series event essentially is the wrap-up of the event. The opportunity for those business owners and leaders to be able to hear from Dave and enjoy the radio show as his live studio audience. Now, not only did I have an opportunity to be able to teach and present, but I had a chance to also mentor. So I had a chance to sit down with these business owners and leaders and had a lot of great conversations to hear from these real people that are walking through this leadership process. Today, we're talking to those business owners who have been through Entree Leadership Master Series, and they're sharing with us how Entree Leadership has helped them transform their business. So today, we have Trey Spencer here with us. Trey, you are an Entree Leader. You are in town for the Entree Leadership Master Series. Tell us a little bit about what your business is, the name, and what you do.
Well, we run an inspection company. It's called American X-Ray and Inspection Services out of Midland, Texas. And we have offices all over Texas, and we basically inspect welding. I have about a group of about 60 guys trained all over the country. We work up all the way up to Wyoming, we just decided to go out and do it ourselves.
Very good. And how is business going for you right now?
Oh, it's going fantastic now. Now it's going great. We've seen so many changes, you know, from you guys helping us out and getting somebody else's opinion. It's just turned us around 180 degrees.
Well, you talk about getting someone else's opinion. And what I'd love to do is talk a little bit about what was business like for you prior to the Entree Leadership Principles. You know, how were you doing as a leader and how was the company doing?
Well, that's an easy question to answer. We didn't have any focus. It seemed like we knew where we wanted to be, but we were all over the map. It's myself and Shane Richardson is my business partner, and our wives are our business partner, and we all knew where we wanted to end up. But getting to this on the same page was a challenge, and we just couldn't bring our thoughts together. And we wanted better employee retention. We wanted better employees trained. We wanted better earnings at the end of the year. Getting there though was the problem. You know, we might have all had the same thought, but getting to the end, it just wasn't. It wasn't a happening thing.
Well, you've got a lot of dynamics in the picture. You said it was you and your business partner.
Yes.
And your wives.
Yes.
Okay, so you got a lot of opinions going on.
Yes.
Well, did that cause tension?
Sometimes it does. It definitely does. We're real fortunate. You know, we have thick skin, and we just decided a long time ago, if we have a problem, we lay it on the table. If we don't agree, we just don't do it. We kind of overlooked in the beginning, kind of overlooked Sean and Glenda's opinion, but this is one thing we've learned from Entree Leadership. You know, they're owners in the company just like we are, so we bring everybody's opinion together, and we really analyze each person's opinion instead of just pushing it to the side now.
Which gives them, feels like they have credibility.
Yeah, so, I believe it does.
So you're making sure everyone's being heard. But you said something. You said we put it all on the table, which is step number one.
Right.
And then you said if we don't agree, we don't do it.
Right.
So there would be times where you all didn't do something, right?
Exactly. There's been plenty of times we just don't do it. And sometimes, you know, it might be a pet project that you thought up, and it's just not a good idea. Getting three other people's opinion, it really helps, because they can bring you, hey, this is why it's not a good idea, and it really works good for us.
Did you end up having to put the business first? You know, instead of your own individual wants, you know, with all four of you all there, you have to look at this and try to think, what's in the best interest of our company?
Yeah, it's definitely a balance. And so we have kind of a war room we go into once a week. We have weekly meetings, and just the four of us, and then we bring in our leadership. And in that room, I tell everybody, look, you know, leave your feelings outside. This is not personal. This is business. And once we get everybody in there and we lay it all out, you know, it's yes or no. And sometimes, you know, the decisions come down to me and Shane, but we always try to include them, because they're owners just like we are. They put their heart into this for the last 7 years. They both worked for us for a long time when we couldn't even pay them in the beginning. And so now that they're involved more, the company really flows well. Everybody knows their role. That's one thing we did, was even though we were owners, we kind of defined roles instead of everybody trying to work in 10 different directions. So now the company has come together. Everybody's more focused. It seems like it runs better. And you don't have one person trying to do everything. And it's working really well.
Well, you've been very candid with me in talking about kind of how Entree Leadership has helped you as a leader. But before Entree Leadership, how would you define your leadership style?
Probably like a bull in a china closet, you know, headstrong. They'll probably all tell you I kind of stand out in the group. You know, I like getting things done, you know, and that's probably one of my downfalls, you know, is I didn't go in and get other people's opinions. And, you know, sometimes when I probably should have, you know, I wanted to get it done. And it hurts when you do that. It hurts your business. You really need to think things out, get other people's opinions, and work together and kind of gel. Since we've done that, you know, before it was we were all over the map, and now we have a plan. Our growth's always been all over the map, and now we have a plan on growth, and it's really helping the direction of the company.
Do you feel like that as a leader, you had to take responsibility for that? You know, being able to get everybody on the same page, you had to guide that process.
Yeah, I feel like we all stepped up when it came to saying, look, we really need to define roles in the company. You know, it's when you take something away from yourself, it's hurt yourself on the inside. And when you take something away from somebody else, it hurts them on the inside. And I think we could all see that. Hey, I'm giving this up, and you need to take a hold of the reins on this. And you know, me and Shane, we our offices are right next to each other. And there's times I want to get up and go in there and, hey, you know, hold on. And then I sit there at my desk and I just say, no, he's got it. You know, he can handle it. So, you know, it's just we have to let people do what they do instead of trying to run the, because the business has gotten so big that one person can't run the business by themselves, can't do everything.
Well, it sounds like you're valuing each other. And
we
that's
do.
A big
yeah.
deal. Let me ask you this before I shift gears. For you and your company, the direction you're going now, do you have more peace? You know, do you have like you feel confident that there is a direction?
Oh, yeah, we sure do. And that's part of, you know, splitting up goals and roles. You know, at night you go home and you're not worried about every single thing going on. You go home, you rest better. It's easier to go home and, you know, to have conversations with your wife. It's very challenging when you work all day with your wife and then you go home with her. You want to talk about work all night and, you know, you catch yourself stopping. So you go home at night, you're more relaxed since it's just giving us a peace of mind. You know, we feel God's a big part of our business. And, since we, you know, the business just belongs to him, and we just run it. And since when we gave the leads back to him, it runs very smooth.
It's a game changer, isn't it?
It sure is.
Let me ask you, outside of money aside, what is it that drives you with your business? What's your passion?
Well, you know, we built this business from the ground up. There was two of us, and now there's somewhere around 60 employees. And it's blood, sweat, and tears. I mean, this axis is us. You know, that's who we are. And I always make comments, you know, our blood, we bleed red and silver. You know, that's our company colors. And it's very challenging when, you know, you see how guys in the field, they see this business come up. They don't know what it takes on the inside. And even though it's ours, we try to treat everyone like it's a big family. We feel like the guys that work for us are a family. You know, we take everything that happens to them, whether it's a family member dying or a dog dying or a kid graduating high school or a marriage, we take everything personally. And we try to, you know, show up at funerals. We try to show up at weddings It sometimes it's tough when you got 60 guys getting married. You know, you can't make
you
it
running,
every way.
Right? Yeah, you're buying gifts all over the place. But I tell you, it definitely gets trust.
Right.
And they know that they matter to you. And
right.
That's a big deal. I'd love to know, as a leader, if you were talking to someone that's out there listening to the podcast that's struggling with leadership, what's the one thing or one piece of advice you might give them as a leader?
Well, I would say after 7 years, we became kind of stagnant because you have your ideas, and if you don't get any ideas from an outside source, you can't continue to grow. So when we found the Entree Leadership, it opened up getting someone else's idea and implementing it. And a lot of the stuff we realized, hey, we had these ideas in the beginning, but they got pushed to the side. Our growth was so fast, you know, and life happens. So we took those ideas back. We've implemented them in our company. We have a personal coach, you know, John Falcons, and he helps us. You know, we sit down with him, and sometimes he helps us have the hard conversations we don't want to talk about. Mm. And getting someone else that's a leader that is successful involved in your business, I would say that's the way to do it.
Which is good. So you don't want to close out new ideas.
Right.
You want to have access to people that care. And what would you say of all the lessons in Entree Leadership? What would you say is your biggest takeaway from Entree Leadership?
Well, there's definitely a lot of them. One of the biggest things we've implemented is we had a hard time retaining employees. So we have 60 employees now. We've been in business 7 years. We've probably had 300 employees.
Wow.
So at our, we have an annual meeting every year. We bring everyone in from the whole company. We shut the company down for 3 days, bring everyone in the country in, and we have a big meeting. And every year, it's just a big old butt-chewing, you know, and you go in there and you beat everybody up. After we went through Entree Leadership last year, we had so many ideas. We went in there this year and we completely turned it around, and it was we stole some of you guys' ideas, you know. And
that's
and
called borrowing.
We borrowed.
Yeah.
And we rewarded the guys, you know, and we let them know they were valuable and they're part of our team. And this year we've lost 5 people, which is a good deal for us. 3 of them fired themselves. We didn't have anything to do with it, but by giving them goals and they knew what they were supposed to do and they just didn't do it. So they decided to not stay with us. But you know, firing someone's not a fun deal. So
No. We
actually had guys at the meeting come up to us during the meeting and say, "Hey, when are we going to start getting dropped out?" And we said, "It's not that type of meeting. You know, we want you guys to know we're valuable." So what we do is if someone messes up, we focus on that person and we try to help them instead of beating the entire company up in an annual meeting. So we let, "Hey, guy, you need to change this. But while we're at this meeting, we're not going to focus on your downfall. We're going to focus on building you up." And, man, our guys have come around 110%.
It has to be a game changer.
Oh man, the team has come together. They're excited. You see, just around our, we started giving annual awards. You know, big companies used to do it, and they would give 5, 10-year awards. We give 1-year awards, 2-year awards, all the way up. And man, some of the awards we give are really nice. You know, and after 5, 6 years, they're valuable. They're $2,000-$3,000, and man, those guys are like, "I'm staying here. I'm getting that watch, or I'm getting that necklace, or I'm getting that ring. I'm here," you know.
Yeah.
And it's made just a ton of difference.
Well, Trey, it sounds like you have changed your culture.
Oh, we definitely have.
I mean, intentionally, you have taken steps to change your culture.
Yeah.
And it's
got
to feel different.
Oh, it does. It feels great, actually. I mean, the way the company was headed before, it was kind of gloom and doom. And now everything is just, it feels fantastic.
Excellent. Well, Trey, thank you for joining us. I mean,
once again,
it is a pleasure to talk to a real leader that's running a real business and getting real results.
Thank you.
Thank you for taking the time to be with us.
All right. Thank you.
We can learn a lot from Trey. The transformation for him was understanding that people matter. For example, his yearly meeting, it went from this session of griping at them to now a period of celebration, talking about the things that are going right. And for their culture, that was a game changer because people were excited about the meeting. Their leadership was excited about it. And so now they could come together and be able to celebrate together as a true team. Next up, we have Dr. Bud Schuller. Now, here's my conversation with Dr. Schuler. Today, we've got another treat for you. We have our first doctor here. Bud, tell us a little bit about who you are and your business.
I'm Bud Schuler. I'm a vascular surgeon from Panama City, Florida. We are the artery and vein experts in our area. It's a small little town that has a lot of pathology, a lot of people that haven't taken care of themselves, and a nice fatty diet, a lot of cigarettes. And so basically, I came down to Panama City, Florida about 10 years ago and started a practice that I wanted to be Christ-centered from a service standpoint. Mm. We wanted to be able to serve the community with high-level, high-quality vascular care and really made a commitment to making a difference in their lives because we feel that if we make a difference in the lives of our patients, their families' lives are impacted, and they'll have the opportunity to really be mentors to their kids and their grandkids, and we really do feel that that'll change the world.
Very good. When you started off, has it been smooth business?
Smooth as a hurricane. I have, and typically in the medical field, most people that go through and become physicians or providers have no business training whatsoever. And so I kind of jumped into this with both feet and a lot of faith. I'd looked for security to begin with in joining other practices, but really didn't see that they shared the same vision and mission making a huge impact on the world by changing lives. And so I jumped in with the faith and found that you really do need to have a business background. So I began to read. As Dave says, leaders read. I really poured into the books, trying to get as much knowledge as I could out. But it's very difficult taking something off of paper, off the pages of a book, and putting it into practice. And so I got involved with some coaching through eMyth and involved with Entree Leadership. I pre-ordered the book, having followed Dave with FPU for years. And then in May of last year, my wife and I attended a one-day conference in Orlando. Really had a huge impact. So I began to realize that I couldn't do it by myself. We had struggled as a practice. The practice by the middle of last year was like a Coke bottle that had been shaken up, and finally somebody took the top off. And so we were bringing in a new rock star vascular surgeon to join us. I had two other providers in the practice, and the leadership of the office itself was based on a fear-based model. And since I was out of the office 3 out of the 5 days of the week, and the threats from the office management was fear-based. If you let Shuler know what's going on, then you're fired.
So she would actually say that to the team members?
She did say that to the team members. And unbeknownst to me, there was a lot more problems going on. So I basically approached one of our PAs in our practice, and she took on the role of practice administrator and leading. Because of her background, ability to rally people, she basically started the ball rolling. We got some experts in to figure out our financial status. And then I realized that we needed a team approach to this. So I brought three of our key leaders down to Entree Leadership, the 5-day course in October. We drank the Kool-Aid. We bathed in the Kool-Aid. And then I brought another three back for the 3-day conference in December, so that we had a large number of our key leaders within the practice that were on the same page.
When you first heard Dave talk about the Entree Leadership principles, you know, as a physician, you are highly skilled in what you do. And you even mentioned there is no business training. And a lot of the clients that I deal with and talk to, they're kind of thrown to the fire.
They are.
When you heard Dave talk about those Entree Leadership principles, what did it do to you? Did it frustrate you, or did you say, that's what I need?
First of all, it's rather embarrassing that I spent 9 years taking a practice, being successful financially and very successful in making an impact in patients' lives, but very frustrated in that our potential was much greater than that. And Dave actually put it out right on the screen, and just the motivated leaders that and speakers with Entree, it fired me up. And I realized that that we could do better. We were going to do better. And then basically we became more and more engaged. We got engaged with the coaching with John Felkins, and we've really grown since that point.
Absolutely. So you are very intentional. I can tell. I've met with you a few times. You're very, very passionate. But you've got a high pressure position, okay? You mentioned being out of the office 3 to 5 days out of the week. You're not on the golf course, okay? You're leaving to go where?
We're going to the operating room, going to the cath lab, taking care of critical patients. You mentioned golf course. My life is my practice and taking care of the patients that we deal with, and then our staff, and then I go home. I have two precious little girls and a wonderful wife. And for about 8 years of my practice, I felt that I needed to be the breadwinner. I needed to be the guy that the husband and the father came second. I needed to be the businessman or I needed to bring home the bacon. And I neglected my family. I neglected my wife and my kids. And I realized that God spelled it out very succinctly. He comes first. My wife comes second. My kids come third, and then my job. Mm. And Dave helped with the Entree Leadership and with some of the other books that I was reading with John Maxwell and with Mike Gerber, that I needed to work more on the practice so that I could actually have a life and a relationship with my family and set the priorities.
That is an excellent point. You needed to work on the business so you could have a life with your family to be able to focus. What do you do in a high-pressure kind of business skill set? How do you keep yourself kind of level? Anything you can put your finger on and say, you know, this helps me kind of keep my resolve here?
Well, what I feel is key is to have a very clear vision and very clear mission. And our entire staff owns that. The second key thing is as you have staff members and the leaders in the practice that own it, that own your vision and share your vision, then you have that faith and confidence that the right thing is being done when you're not there. And it does need to be a team approach. It requires humility. It requires trust and faith, which is earned. And it takes the time. We had a very dysfunctional practice, and I have entrepreneurial impatience. I want to get out there and do and do and do, and yet I have to have the patience to allow our team members to learn and grow just like I have over the time, over this time frame.
Well, delegation has got to be crucial for you. If you're out of the office 3 to 5 days, you can be in the operating room or seeing clients. So you've got to be able to learn how to have learned how to delegate and trust. Is that something you innately do, or is that something you have to learn?
As a surgeon, we typically are responsible for everything that goes on in the operating room. So you tend to micromanage. And so it's very difficult for me to delegate. The great thing about this practice is the vision is greater than any individual, and that includes me. And so the delegation is important for all of us to fulfill the vision and mission that we share.
If you were talking to another leader out there that is struggling with delegation, they are a micromanager, okay, what advice would you give them to begin to take those steps to learn how to delegate?
First of all, define your mission and your vision. And if you're completely committed to accomplishing something great, then you can't do it alone. You have to build the team. It takes time and patience. And in building the team, the best ideal is to be a servant leader. And Christ is the best example of that. Read as much as you can. Be humble. Have an accountability partner to reel you back in. And learn to realize that it's not all about you. It's about the vision and mission that you have.
How often do you meet with your team to kind of keep them connected? Is it something you're doing weekly or monthly? How often do you meet with them?
Well, Jen is our office manager, practice administrator, and she meets with them, the team leaders, weekly to go over their KRAs and to really make sure that they are progressing along and answer the questions and redirect. I meet with them. I'm in the clinic a day and a half a week. And so I'm interacting with the staff, but sitting down meeting with Jen, it's once a week, and meeting with the staff as a whole, it's once a month, staff meetings, but there's interaction. I've realized in the past that there was too little of being around with the patients, and there's been too little time that I've spent with the staff. And then we kind of transitioned after the initial Entree 5-day course where I was interacting too much, and they felt confused as to
what's going on here.
Exactly.
Right?
They needed a little bit more time and space to make the decisions and to grow as leaders, and I tended to jump in and overly manage at that time.
Okay. So you went from not meeting enough, meeting too much. Are you finding a happy medium now?
No, you'd brought up about delegation and all. Our communication is one of the biggest things that we are challenged with, and we're still working through that. It's a process. Coming back for the second master series has allowed us to listen a little bit more clearly and digest, understanding that there's particulars and specifics that we need to focus on the details. We got the overview and the big picture the first time coming through, but really coming back the second time, it's allowed us to focus more on what we really need to concentrate on and to realize that we're going to make mistakes along the way. And that's okay. Mm-hmm. As long as we're failing forward, we're learning to focus on what our key problems are. Communication is the big part right now.
Do you think your team, with you having had exposure to Entree Leadership a few times now, do you think they know where you're going with this business? Do they have an idea of where you're taking it?
I think they're very clear what our mission is. It's painted on the wall in our break room whenever we interview potential staff members whenever we have interviews with people in the community. I sit so that that is displayed behind me. I refer to our vision and mission frequently. So I know they know what our vision and mission is. We need to have more clarity on the steps to get to the completion of our vision.
Very good. And where do you see business going for you in the next couple of years?
Well, God willing, we will reach more lives. We do feel that one person can change the world. We know that if we give hope to one individual from a vascular standpoint, then their family is changed. And really, the ability for them to impact the world through the impacts that they have, passing it and paying it forward through their family and through the people they come in contact with is huge.
Very good. Well, thank you very much, Bud, for taking the time to talk with us today. And again, we're hearing directly from real entree leaders running real businesses, getting real results. We can learn a lot from Dr. Schuler. I think for him, the takeaway was understanding that as a leader, you have to always be learning. You have to constantly push yourself. We've heard of the leadership lid, where as a leader, you have to keep growing because you are the problem and the solution for your business. So you want to be around positive energy. You want to have coaching. You want to have people that are mentoring you and giving you positive insight and pushing you and encouraging you to be able to grow. We'd like to welcome Daniel Tardy here on the show. Daniel, you had another incredible Entree Leadership Master Series event last week. How did you think it went?
Oh, dude, it was a great week. You know, for the first time, we had this back here in Nashville, and I think the feedback that we continue to get from these guys as they're coming through the week is just how fun it is for them to be right here in our office, seeing our team in action, that are not only hearing Dave teach us information, but seeing our team embody the principles throughout the week as they're touring our building and kind of seeing behind the scenes of how things work here. So I know our team was elated. I know these attendees, these guests that we had in, really felt like they were super served by getting kind of a front row seat to the Entree Leadership culture where this whole thing started.
Yeah, I had a lot of guests tell me that they loved being able to see the offices, you know, to be able to see things and not just hear about it. So I think it was an incredible touch.
Right. Well, and I love this podcast. Good job on this podcast, by the way, because hearing these stories, we're working more and more to make sure that Entree Leadership is known as a brand that is for the small business owner in the marketplace. And so it's not just the big headliners who have these big books and these principles. We're going to continue to promote those guys because they have lots of truth and lots of nuggets that we want to share and use this platform to share those ideas. But at the same time, the small business owner in the marketplace who's winning, who's taking risks, who's fighting challenges, you know, that's the magic. That's where the marketplace is at. And Entree Leadership is a brand that is for that guy because that's where we started. We started small and we've grown diligently over the years. And we believe that great success can come from these humble beginnings. And so hearing these stories, wow, that's so incredible and so encouraging. And I hope our listeners are encouraged to hear their peers in the marketplace. These are not professional speakers and big headline guys. These are real people just like them. And when you hear the story, it brings hope and it brings excitement that, hey, I could do this too. This will work.
Absolutely. Now, I know that there are other things that you have going on coming up.
Yeah, you bet.
And so what else are you doing out there for the entree leader, for the business person that wants to grow in their leadership role?
Well, Chris, our biggest hope is that podcast listeners who are out there listening in their car, maybe while they're working out at the gym or whatever it may be, we want them to be able to activate these ideas and join the conversation. You know, just out there consuming this, if that's all you ever do, that's great. We love you, and we're going to continue to pump out great content straight into your earbuds. But if that's something that you're inspired by, the lessons that you hear, the truth that you hear in Dave teach or these other stories, and you want to join the conversation and go further with our team or with the Entree Leadership tribe, if you will, the other people who are plugged in with this, there's a lot of fun stuff going on and ways that people can get plugged in. And the next immediate thing coming up is the event that you teach called our Entree Leadership Performance Series event. And that is the perfect event to get started with Entree Leadership. It's not as big as our Master Series event, but it's also not as expensive. It's 3 days. It's a crash course in Entree Leadership principles. It's great for business owners, but it's also great to bring your team.
That's right.
Leadership team, managers. If you want to get your team on board with Entree Leadership, you can bring them right here to our office in Nashville, Tennessee. That's June 24th through the 26th. This will sell out. It's on pace to sell out in the next few weeks, but we do have some room left. And if you want to get registered, you can just call our office here, 888-227-3223, and ask about Entree Leadership Performance Series. If you get confused on what it's called, it's just the one Chris Hogan teaches.
Now, listen, you talk about that one being something for a business owner to be able to send that leader or that manager,
right?
Somebody that you want to be able to grow. It's a great opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Well, investing in your team and getting them on board with the same principles, this gives you a playbook. And so you and your leadership team can walk out of here. You as the leader don't have to be the guy that's constantly shoving new stuff down your team's ears and going, hey, you got to hear this. You got to listen to me. These are my ideas. But you can let Chris Hogan, let Dave, let the Entree Leadership Principles be kind of the thing you point to and go, this is where our team's going to go. And you guys adopt these principles together and then go back and put them into place. And the stories from business owners that have brought their team through Entree Leadership Performance Series are resounding across the board. The pace that they go now is just mock speed.
Everybody's on the same page.
That's right.
And the business owner does have a business to run.
Right.
You know, but if he has his leadership, he or she has his leadership on the same page, they're going to make stuff happen.
And the key is it's unifying your team. Whether you come to Entree Leadership Performance Series or you all read a book together, you go to another conference together, doing something regularly and actively with your leadership team together is going to create unity. It's going to create a shared belief system, and it's going to give you values that you guys can operate from. But if you're not doing that, everybody's kind of operating their own vacuum, their own silo. You're constantly going to have you're going to have disunity, and you're going to have fragmentation of adoption
and a waste of resources.
Right.
Now, I know you and I have talked, and you've got a lot of great things coming with the Entree Leadership brand. So, how can people stay connected? How do they stay in touch?
Well, certainly follow us on Twitter at Entree Leadership. We're constantly putting announcements and promos and little nuggets of truth out there. Sometimes we'll tweet out clips of you or Dave teaching something at Entree Leadership, whether it's an audio or video. Certainly our newsletter, go to DaveRamsey.com, just click on newsletters, and Entree Leadership is one you can subscribe to there. We've got over 100,000 followers on that newsletter now. We're always putting as much truth and wisdom out there as we can. And I'm passionate about Entree Leadership being a generous brand in sharing and not just market, but really putting all our stuff out there, our cookies on the bottom shelf where business owners can access this, whether they ever come to our events or not. We just want to be a generous brand. And yeah. So getting that newsletter is where it's at.
Well, and you've said that a lot, that generous brand. And I think with people to be able to read that newsletter, I've gotten people that have emailed me and said, Chris, this information is incredible. And I think it's something that meets them right where they are.
Right. Well, they email us back and they go, I would pay for this. And you guys should be charging for this. And yeah, that's not what it's about. It's about empowering small business owners in the marketplace. Some of them will eventually come on into other offerings that we've got. But if you're not signed up for our newsletter, at a minimum, you've got to do that. Join the conversation. Stay plugged in because there's accountability there. There's more truth. There's more Entree Leadership Principles. Not just our stuff, but we're always sharing other things that we're paying attention mm-hmm. to in the marketplace. And as a business owner, you don't have the time to scour all the data and all the information that's out there. And our team is vetting and paying attention to here's the cream of the crop. And we're going to go out and broadcast not just our stuff, but everything out there that we feel like is really matters right now in the marketplace for small business owners.
Well, you're making it the source right. for leaders and business owners.
Yeah, it's a lifeline.
So I know I had people that told me that, hey, Chris, the Entree Leadership Master Series sold out. They didn't have an opportunity to get to this one. When's the next one happening?
People think we just say they sell out because we're trying to make it urgent or something. They really do sell out. I mean, we only take our place only seats 150 people. Dave only does these two times a year. I wish we could do it more, but his calendar's jammed with other stuff. Mm-hmm. And so they sell out usually 2 or 3 months early. We're on pace to be sold out probably 4 months early on this next one, but you can get in. There's still some tickets left today. It's November 3rd through the 9th back here in our office. We had such a popular response to the one that we did here in Nashville that we decided to do the location again back here at our office again, so people can see, you know, on site, front row, and kind of right where the whole Entree Leadership culture exists.
Well, they get a chance to feel the culture.
Yeah.
And I think that makes a difference for them. So what do people need to do? If I'm interested in this or if I want to make a decision, I need to get here to experience this week with Dave, what do I need to do?
Yeah, just go to DaveRamsey.com and click on Entree Leadership, or again, call us 888-227-3223. Ask about Entree Leadership Master Series. You can talk to one of our advisors. They will do a consulting advisory session with you. They'll ask you how your business is going. They'll find out what your biggest pain points are. They'll figure out if Entree Leadership makes sense. And they're constantly vetting and screening to make sure that we get people here who really are going to get maximum ROI out of this event. And it's no pressure. We don't put the screws to people and twist their arm, but they will give you an informative 20 to 30 minute consultation call. And then from there, you can make a decision whether this event's right for you or not.
Excellent. So as you can hear, you have many options, either through the newsletter coming to EPS here or the Entree Leadership Master Series event
right
here with Dave. So, Daniel, thank you for taking the time
and
to talk to us.
Hey, and they need to follow you on Twitter, too, ChrisHogan360.
Oh, yeah. Well, I appreciate that.
And Chris is always, I know I followed Chris. He's always putting out great stuff, whether he's out on the road and meeting different people as he's reading things. You know, I enjoy following your Twitter feed. So not only Entree Leadership, but follow Chris Hogan, too. We love having you as the host of our podcast now. This has been a lot of fun, and we're looking forward to, man, the plans that are on the board right now for this podcast are really exciting. I know we've been talking about some of that coming up. So make sure you stay tuned in, stay plugged into the podcast. We're going to continue to put more stuff out in the show notes and that feed. So we want to do everything we can to empower small business owners to grow themselves and grow their teams and grow their profits.
Excellent. Well, Daniel, thank you for coming by.
Yep. Thanks, Chris.
We'd like to thank Trey Spencer and Dr. Bud Schuler for their interview and opportunity to speak with them and hear directly from them and their Entree Leadership experience. I'd also like to thank Bobby Robertson, Becky Powell, and of course, Dave Ramsey. And so until next time, remember, keep learning, keep leading. Grow yourself, grow your team, grow your profits.